Would you turn with me? Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 27. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same thing. Well, let's see what happens beginning in verse 66. "And as Peter was below in the court, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man was one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' And he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And he broke down and wept." In this account in the Gospel of Mark, we read of Peter, the apostle, denying Jesus three times. You know, in all the honesty of the Bible, we see manifested here a proof of the inspiration of Scripture. For if this were just a book of men, wouldn't they cover and conceal this account of the leader of the church denying Jesus three times? But no, it is told not only by the gospel, in the Gospel of Mark, but in all four gospels. Now, why would all four gospels include this account of the denial of Jesus by Peter? Well, there must be a reason. Well, I think one of the main reasons is so that we could learn from Peter's mistakes. You know, we're all prone to make mistakes, and we need to learn how to avoid these kinds of mistakes and how we can learn from these mistakes. Some years ago, I was playing in our church golf tournament, and this time it was captain's choice. Captain's choice means that you have a team and everyone hits the ball, and you play from the best ball, your next shot. And so we made it to the green, and there was a downhill lie on the green. And so the first person putted the ball right past the hole and off the green. And then the second person putted the ball. Did he learn from his mistake? Well, he putted the ball. It went past the hole at least 6 or 8 feet. Then it was my turn. Surely I'm not going to make the same mistake. And so I got up and putted the ball, and sure enough, it went right past the hole several feet. Then the fourth guy putted the ball, and he did the same thing. He went right past the hole. None of us seemed to learn the mistakes from the mistakes of the previous person. Well, I want us to learn from the mistakes, the big mistake that Peter made in denying Jesus Christ. And then we're going to draw some lessons. And I believe the message today is very practical about the fact that we're all weak. We're prone to yield to temptation. And yet when we do, how we can be forgiven and how we can be restored by our Lord. We'll also see how we can avoid temptation and yielding to temptation like Peter did. And you know, we live in a society that's becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian faith. And you are going to face situations where you will be prone to deny that you're a Christian. Or to keep silent that you're a Christian. But yet he calls upon us to openly confess Christ before others. And so let's see, first of all, this morning, the shameful denials of Peter. Let me give you a little background. First of all, his denial was predicted by Christ. In verse 27, he said, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." Jesus made the prediction that not only Peter, but all of the apostles would stumble and turn away from him. And that's not only a prediction because he's the Son of God and he knows the future, but also because of prophecy. He quoted from Zechariah 13:7, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." And as soon as the shepherd Jesus was arrested, sure enough, the disciples scattered. But then in verse 29, Having heard this prediction and prophecy, Peter spoke up and said, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And after all the others affirmed their loyalty to Jesus Christ, Jesus said in verse 30, "Assuredly, I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows thrice, you, Peter, will deny me three times." The reference to the rooster crow would serve, first of all, to say to Peter, "Listen, how quickly you are going to deny me and go back on your word. Because even before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me this very day." And Peter could hardly believe what he was hearing. And in verse 31, he repeated his insistence. He said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And you know what? I believe Peter meant it. I believe he was sincere in his commitment to Jesus. He loved Jesus. He would never imagine how he could ever deny Jesus. But yet, in spite of his promise, in spite of his vow of loyalty, we see that the denial was indeed practiced by Peter. And I use the word practice because he didn't deny him just once, but three times. And in one of those denials, he kept denying that he even knew Jesus. And so let's see what happened. After Jesus was arrested, the disciples fled the scene, but verse 54 says that Peter followed from a distance. He wanted to see what was going to happen to his Lord as they carried him off. And he followed from a safe distance. But as they brought him into the compound of the high priest, if he was going to know what was happening, he had to go right on in with them into the courtyard there. And he began to warm himself. It was a cold night early in the spring. And so as he went into that courtyard, he joined that group that was warming themselves by the fire. And the fire illuminated the face of Peter, and a servant of the high priest, looking at him, said, You were with Jesus, weren't you? That Nazarene Jesus. And Peter was caught off guard. He was expecting to remain unrecognized and unnoticed. And the boldness of this girl caused him to be frightened, and he panicked, and he thought that he could just escape this situation by denying that he even knew Jesus, as he said in verse 68. He said, I don't understand what you're saying. He lied and pleaded ignorance. And oh, there's a lot of people that try to lie themselves out of trouble. And the chief and foremost of our Lord's chosen disciples was thrown down, not by a group of soldiers, but by a servant girl. In the last of verse 68, we see that Peter left that place and went to a different area, a porch, a gateway. He wanted to get away. He wanted to retreat to a more safe area. After all, he had been the one that cut off the ear of another servant of the high priest, Malchus. And we are told that at least one of his relatives was in that crowd. And then we're told in verse 68 that after that denial, the rooster crowed the first time. That should have served as a warning to Peter. That should have served as a warning to get away. You're not strong enough to resist temptation. You've already denied Jesus once. You better get away while you can. But he didn't. Well, if his intention was to leave, we see in verse 69 that once again that servant girl came up to him and again accused him of being with Jesus. In verse 7, he indicates that he kept denying. He repeated his denial, not once, but yet again, that he had even been with Jesus. And meanwhile, the news of Peter's presence was circulating in that courtyard. The third challenge was made more confidently. In verse 70, we see that a whole group of bystanders accused Peter of having been with Jesus. And they said, we know this is true, not only because you've been recognized, but because you're a Galilean. We can tell from your accent, you're not from around here. You're from Galilee, just like Jesus. Man, he was like a Georgian amongst a group of New Yorkers. They knew that he was truly Peter. And Peter was like a scared cat surrounded by a pack of dogs. And all he knew to do was to try to deny Jesus once again, but this time it says that Peter cursed, as some translations say. It's not that he used profanity, but rather he pronounced a curse upon himself. May God curse me. May God judge me if what I am saying is not true. And he also backed it up with an oath as well. Wow. And as soon as he denied Christ a third time, there's that rooster crowing one more time. How terrible. Now, he was talking and acting like an unbeliever. You know, he did the opposite of what he said he would never do. Jesus looked at him, according to the gospel accounts, when he denied him that last time. And that look of Jesus pierced his heart, and he remembered what Jesus said to him. And he began to weep. The same man who had witnessed the miracles of Jesus, the same man who saw his own mother-in-law be healed by Jesus, the same man who had been rescued from drowning in the Sea of Galilee, turned around and denied Jesus, denied he even knew him. But you know, before we judge Peter too harshly, we need to examine our own lives. How many of us would have done the same thing? How many of us have been at school or work and people have been talking bad about Jesus or bad about Christians, and all we do is act like we don't even go to church, act like we're not a believer? How many of us have been in a moral temptation and we act like we're not a Christian, but instead just yield to that temptation? How many of us have been in a situation where God has given us a good opportunity to share our faith in Jesus, and instead we're silent? Romans 7:19 says, "For the good that I would do, I don't do, and the evil that I would not do, that I do." That is the experience of Peter, and that is the experience that we have all too often. And so what happened? How did this happen? How could a man who loved Jesus, who vowed to never deny Jesus, turn around and before the rooster crowed, he was denying Jesus? Well, I think there were three factors that led to his downfall, and the same three factors can lead to our downfall, and we need to watch out for these things. And the first is pride. In verses 29 and 31, Peter boasted before his other fellow disciples that he would never deny Jesus. You guys might deny Jesus, but I'll never deny Jesus. Yes, Peter was the first of the apostles to step forward and confess that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had his good points, and because of his strengths, he thought that surely in such a situation, I won't deny Jesus. But the fact is, he was too prideful, too self-confident. I mean, he had failed in the past, hadn't he? Oh, the same time he confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, immediately he turned around and was a tool of Satan in saying to Jesus, "Oh, you're not going to the cross." The same Peter who walked on water lost his faith and began to sink. He failed there too. What makes you think you won't fail in this situation? And so watch out for spiritual pride. You know, when you have spiritual success and people praise you for your commitment to Christ and how you're serving Christ, then you can start getting a little cocky and a little too self-confident. Watch out. Pride goes before a fall. Another problem was presumption. He presumed that he would be strong enough in such a situation to withstand temptation. But that very night, Jesus warned them in verse 38, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, therefore," Jesus said. Listen, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Don't presume that you are always going to be strong in the face of temptation. The seeds of wickedness lie buried in our hearts and lives, ready to spring up at any time. Yeah, we're getting into that springtime. You plow that garden or you get out there and work in your flowers. And you know what's going to happen after you disturb that ground and everything looks so nice? All it takes is a little warmth and a little moisture, and those old weeds are going to be popping right back up out of the ground. You never know when that sin and that's in your heart, that will always be in your heart until you die or Jesus comes again, will spring up. Don't presume that you will not fail. Don't think that if you just have enough determination that you will not yield to temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Don't you think for a moment that as you go out and live your life that you don't need to pray, you don't need to spend time with God reading His Word, that you don't need to depend upon the Lord to give you the strength not to fail in the moment of temptation. You remember when you learned how to ride a bike, after a while you could just hop on that bike and ride it without even thinking about what you were doing. And you know, once you've been a Christian a while, you think that you can just live the Christian life and kind of on autopilot and everything's going to be okay. Well, listen, everything's not going to be okay. When you face temptation and when you just presume that you're always going to be strong enough to resist temptation. Back in the 1980s, one of the fastest growing churches, and they had a young, successful pastor, and man, things were just going great until the church found out that he had been having a 4-year adulterous relationship with a woman in the church. They asked him, what happened? And he acknowledged, you know, he just got to where he wasn't reading his Bible, wasn't praying like he ought to. Success led to pride and presumption. But there's another problem, and that is peer pressure. Oh, you think you're strong? Well, you just face some peer pressure and see how strong that you are. Peter found himself in the wrong crowd, in a crowd that was antagonistic to Jesus Christ. And as accusations came in one by one, he denied that he even knew Christ. He couldn't stand the pressure. And we're all susceptible to peer pressure. And you know, we have a new kind of peer pressure today. It's called social media. You know, you get on there and say something for Christ, and sometimes you'll get attacked for your moral convictions or your faith in Christ. And sometimes we grow silent. We hang with the wrong crowd and end up doing the things that they do. And so we need to be careful about pride, presumption, and peer pressure, or we're going to fall just like Peter did. Well, finally this morning, I want you to see from this story the spiritual disciplines we need to resist temptation and to avoid such failure. And the first is this: we need to learn and remember God's Word. Learning God's Word can help prevent sin, prevent falling to temptation. You remember Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, he quoted Scripture at every temptation. But then, we're all still going to fail. We're still going to have moments when we yield to temptation, but it is Scripture that will also be used by God to convict you of the wrong you have done, give you assurances of God's forgiveness, and you can seek that forgiveness and be restored. And so verse 72 says that Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him. Oh, after he denied him three times, he heard that rooster crow and he remembered what Jesus said, and immediately he began to weep and began to pray for God's forgiveness. And so, if you want to battle temptation both before and after you yield, you need to learn God's Word. Learn it by reading it daily. Learn it by coming to Sunday school. Learn it by coming to a worship service where the Word of God is preached and explained. Memorize God's Word and you will have victory over temptation. But you also need to deal with your sin. When you do fail, don't be like Adam and Eve and blame others. Accept responsibility. Acknowledge your own sin. God knows it. There's no point in trying to hide it from Him. Confess your sin, as the Bible says. And then, like Peter, we ought to, when we are convicted of our sin, we ought to experience godly sorrow. The last of verse 72 says that Peter went out and wept. Tears of sorrow over sin that he had just committed. Listen, no man or woman is going to overcome sin as long as we have a careless attitude about sin. It is only when we experience deep sorrow over the sin we have committed that we will repent. For 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow produces repentance. There must be godly sorrow if there's going to be true repentance. And let me tell you something else. As Peter went out and wept and spent the next weeks in agony over what he had done, it illustrates the fact that the backsliding Christian is going to experience sorrow of heart and life. That's why we don't want to yield to temptation. You think of Lot, Samson, David, how they all yielded to temptation and experienced great sorrow in their lives and in their families. Then we must repent of our sin. Remember, Judas felt bad about what he had done, but he didn't repent. He just hung himself in despair. But Peter knew of the grace and the forgiveness of God, and when he wept, he did not sink into despair, but trusted in the forgiveness of the Lord. And he repented. Unlike Judas, he repented of those sins. As far as we know, he never again denied Jesus, even in the face of imprisonment, even in the face of torture, even according to historical records, as he faced crucifixion, he never denied Jesus again because he repented. Then he received the forgiveness offered by God. Yes, I want you to know that God knows us. He knew your sin before you were saved, and He knows your weakness now that you're saved. And we have a God full of grace and compassion. And when you fail, don't despair, but immediately be sorry for that sin, confess that sin, repent of that sin, and look to God to forgive you of that sin. He is a forgiving God. And one other lesson we've got to learn is this: don't trust in your own strength, but seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Good intentions are not enough. Willpower is not enough. When was it that Peter no longer denied Jesus and boldly confessed Jesus even before hostile crowds? It was only after he was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. If you are going to have the strength to live for Jesus, to confess Jesus, You need not just your strength, but the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. One time, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, asked his audience, "How can I get the air out of this glass?" And someone suggested, "Well, take a suction and suction that air out of that glass." And Moody said, "Yes, but that will create a vacuum. You may break the glass." And one or two other suggestions were offered. And then Mr. Moody took a pitcher of water and just filled the glass full of water. No more air in the glass. And you know, when it comes to living the Christian life, you got to do more than just try to suck the sin out of your life. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, in depending upon His power, will enable you to have victory over sin in your life. Yes, Romans 7:19 says, "The good that I would do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, that I do." But skip on to chapter 8, verse 4, and it says that the leading and regulating power of the Holy Spirit will set you free from sin and death. And so we see that in all the Gospels and Acts, Jesus restored Peter, who had denied Him three times. Since Jesus restored Peter and forgave Peter, Jesus will forgive you no matter what you have done. And like Peter, you said, "You know, I want to live for the Lord. I want to be faithful to the Lord." But yet there have been times when you have not been faithful, when you have yielded temptation, you have made mistakes as a Christian. You need to repent. Feel sorry, confess your sin. Don't rely on willpower, but rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, I wonder who this morning would say, "You know, I'm a Christian." But you haven't confessed Him publicly. You haven't followed Him in baptism. Listen, if you will not confess Christ before a friendly crowd like this, when will you confess Christ? Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, "Whoever confesses Me before men, him will I confess before My Father in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, him will I deny before My Father in heaven." As we give the invitation, you have the opportunity to confess publicly that, yes, you have received Jesus as your Savior. You're ready to live for Him and boldly confess Him before this audience and before others, and you'll follow Him in baptism. We invite you to make that decision. Or perhaps you need to be saved today. The first step is to confess your sins and turn to Jesus, who died for your sins on the cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that Jesus did go to that cross. He died for our sins, suffered what our sins deserve, that we might be forgiven. And I pray, Lord, that non-Christians and Christians will confess their sins and receive forgiveness this very day. Lord, help those who have not confessed Christ as Savior to do so this very day. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.